glory stake and rose again. And because of that, you said that we put our faith and trust in your Son, not the sacrifice and his resurrection.
Amen. 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 Thank you. You may have a seat. And can we thank the worship team for leading us this morning? As Pastor Jordan has said, I also want to just say happy Memorial Day, and I want to say a special thanks to all of you who stood earlier, whether you stood on behalf of a family member or if you stood because you served our country or are serving our country. I think for me, on a weekend like this, I'm reminded of the fact that we can freely walk into a place like this without persecution. And what a blessing it is to open up the Word of God, to talk and declare the name of Jesus, and not have anyone come in here and you know, persecute us as a result of this. I've been to many different parts of the country, and that's not the story. Many people, many missionaries, many Christians right now are doing what they call secret church, because if they were discovered, they would go to prison or even worse. And so for all of you men and women who have served our country, thank you for fighting for our freedom where we can declare Jesus. So thank you again for that. If you have a Bible, please turn with me to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. We're going to look at three different passages this morning. The first passage is going to be on the screen, and then Mark chapter 6 will be our second passage this morning. So turn there. We have been talking for 3 weeks now, including this week will be our fourth week, in a series called Don't Quit. And so far, we've talked about three different categories. We've talked about when it comes to your individual faith, when it comes to your family, and then when it comes to your eternal focus, don't quit. Today, we're going to talk about this subject when it comes to your fatigue. Now, on the screen is the first scripture that I want you to read with me. You have your Bibles hopefully open to Mark chapter 6. But would you read this with me? And you know how it is when you read in church? Sometimes we mumble. It's pretty depressing. Let's read with enthusiasm, right? Pretend your English teacher is in front of you back in the day and you're getting graded on this. But read this with me with enthusiasm. Galatians 6:9. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at a proper time we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. Now, let me just talk about this just for a moment. I'm going to break this verse into three parts. Let's talk about the first part. Let us not become weary. Now, just for a moment, think about what Paul is saying. Paul is basically saying what we're saying. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel when you become weary. Some of you might have a translation that says tired. Even the word fatigue is in some translations. So just for a moment, think about what makes you tired. Think about what wears you out. Think about what causes you fatigue. For some of you, you're like, this is a no-brainer. I just had a child, and for me, this little guy that I love and I just adore won't sleep, and I don't know how this is possible, but this little guy, I love him to death. He is just wearing me out, right? So some of you are newborn. Your newborn is that answer, right? Others of you, maybe it's your work. Maybe you work 60 to 80 hours a week. Maybe it's just the fact that you have a job that you don't like, and although you're not working many hours, perhaps you're working only, you know, 20 hours, but it's just a job that's kind of bothering you, or people are bothering you, and for whatever reason, it just wears you out. For me, one of the things that wears me out is driving long distances. If it's over 4 hours, I feel like you should be on a plane. Some people love driving long distances. I really don't like it for some reason. Matter of fact, when we go on vacation, we try to drive through the night. And one of the reasons that we try to do that is because I can't afford airfare typically for everybody. But with that being said, we drive through the night because my hope is that my kids will sleep. And if they're sleeping, they won't eat, right? And so if you go to a gas station with my family, you know, you get $60 worth of gas and about $100 worth of snacks, it seems like. And so I'm always a big believer. Let's drive through the night, even though it fatigues me. Like, I cheat death every summer with my family. Thank God for those rivet strips on the side of the road. But in all seriousness, one of the things that my family tells me, and I've just learned this recently, they said, "Dad, we know when you're getting tired." And I said, "Well, why?" And they said, "Because you rub your head relentlessly. You just rub your head. And you have little stubble on your head, and it makes this weird noise, and it wakes us up while we're trying to sleep." And I'm like, "I'm sorry that I'm waking you up. I'm trying to stay awake," right? But driving for me would be the answer. Have you ever noticed Thanksgiving dinner? What do? You're fatigued afterwards. So what, you take a nap, you wake up, eat pie, take a nap, wake up, eat seconds. You know how the process goes. Some of you would say, "You know, I don't want to admit this today, but my in-laws wear me out," right? Others of you are like, "Pastor Jeff, I have to be honest, your sermons wear me out," right? It was funny, this picture was taken on Easter Sunday. We took several pictures on Easter Sunday. And the one picture we had in particular was, I must have said something, or you guys all must have known there was a camera and you were smiling, because everybody was looking and engaged and smiling. We're like, "Man, this would be an awesome one to send out." And there was one person, nobody here today, in the front row that was in like stage 4 REM sleep. And they were like, "You know, 1,000 people in the second service, 1,000, we had over 1,000 people crammed in here, everybody engaged, and they're like, one guy just, you know, gone," right? So maybe my sermons wear you out, right? But here's what I want to say this morning. When Paul here is writing to this church, and ultimately as he tries to encourage you and I today, when he says, "Let us not grow weary or become weary," he's not talking about anything physical. He's talking about something spiritual. Matter of fact, the word weary there, it means to lose heart. It means to lose your spirit. It literally means to be spiritually discouraged. And Paul here is saying, let us not become weary. And then he defines what we should not become weary in. And he says, in doing good. So the question isn't, are you tired from your job? Or are you tired from your responsibility of parenting? Because the answer to that is probably yes. Paul here is talking about a completely different category. He's saying, let us not become weary when it comes to doing spiritually good things. In other words, let's not lose heart. Let's not become spiritually discouraged. And let's keep on doing the spiritual things that we know we should be doing. Don't quit those things. So real quickly, let me remind you, what are the spiritually good things that we should be doing? Well, as you learned the last 3 weeks, we've talked about don't quit when it comes to your faith, family, and focus. And I suggest to you the way we don't quit is when we continue to do certain things spiritually. So real quickly, here's all the things that we are supposed to do spiritually. We're supposed to stand up against the enemy. That's a good thing we are spiritually supposed to do. We're supposed to step up and out in faith. We're supposed to speak up in prayer. We're supposed to look up eternally. So for the last 3 weeks, I have shared with you the spiritually good things that God wants us to do so that we don't quit in our journey with Christ. And you can check out any of these messages. They're online, right? But here's the point. Have you ever done a good thing, like standing up against the enemy, like praying, and it just didn't seem like it was working? You know, a lot of times in church, we don't ask that question, right? You have a problem with your son, you have a problem in your marriage, you have a problem spiritually, something that's going on, and someone will naturally say, "Hey, you need to stand up against the enemy of God, and you need to pray." Have you ever replied, "I have. It just doesn't seem like it's working." Right? Let me try to illustrate this. About 2 weeks ago, my wife said to me, "Hey, Jeff, I would like you to do some patio lights in our backyard." Now, we don't have an awning or anything that we can hang these patio lights on, but we like hanging out in our backyard, especially during the summertime. And so I thought, man, this is an easy enough project. I'll make it happen. And so we literally got a pole that we dug a hole and put it in our backyard, filled it with concrete, have a nice pole there now. And I figured out how to do the electrical, you know, because it wasn't as simple as like, you know, Christmas tree, just wrap it around and plug it in, you know. So we got the electrical figured out. We got the pole. And I thought that would be the hardest part. And I'm like, man, this is great. Now we just got to go to the lights. We go to Michael's. We buy the lights that we want. We string the lights. And we find out that we're about this far too short. And I'm like, doggone it, I'm so stupid. I can't move the pole now because that would have been a smart solution. Just move it in, right? And so I'm like, what are we going to do? So we made, you know, our lights a little bit wider. So I went to Michael's a second time and said, hey, we didn't buy enough lights. We need to buy some more lights. And we connected the lights. And by this time, it's starting to rain a little bit. And so as I'm on the ladder trying to attach them to our house, I'm sinking into the mud. I'm doing like Spider-Man sliding down our house. And during this time, I let go of the strand of lights. And they all go down together. And I'm just like, you got to be kidding me. Like, this is ridiculous. Like now I'm starting to do the Christian swear words, like crud. My neighbors are outside watching me lose my mind, eating popcorn. And my family's sitting over there and they know that I wasn't very happy about. I mean, I got mad. Went inside and like, I'm just trying to do something my wife wants. And now I'm spending my whole Saturdays. No guy should ever go to Michael's anyway. Why am I in Michael's? And I'm in Michael's a third time. And the lady's like, man, you're struggling, aren't you? I'm like, yeah, I am. I need to buy all new lights. And I get home after buying the lights for a third time, string up the lights, get to the last section, pull out the lights, and realize that all of them are black except for this last one. They're white. I drive back to Michael's. It's me again. It's just a joke, right? I'm like, this is ridiculous. Like, I'm trying to do a good thing. Like, if I told my wife this, and I said, if I was living on my own, I'm glad I'm not living on my own, but if I was living on my own, I would never do this. I'm trying to do a good thing to honor my wife, and look, it's getting me nowhere. And honestly, I was about ready to quit, right? Finally, by the grace of God, I got the right lights, got them up there, and you know what? All my family members, we sat outside, we've enjoyed the time outside at night, it's been nice, and it's been worth it, right? And the point is this, right? Sometimes it feels like when we've talked about don't quit, we know that we're supposed to be praying for our son or daughter who's struggling. We know we should be focusing eternally, even though we live in the earthly. And it's so easy to get distracted and focus on the goals of the earth instead of the goals of heaven. But we know that, right? But what if, and I'm just talking out loud, what if we've been doing all those things? What if we've been praying? What if we've been standing up against the enemy? What if we've been focusing eternally? And it just doesn't seem like it's working. What do we do then? And that's why Paul is writing this. He's saying, don't give up doing the good things, although it might seem like it's not working. If you quit, you will not reap a harvest. Paul is using a farmer analogy, and he's saying, listen, I just want you to think of the farmer for a moment. He plants the seed, he pulls the weeds, he tends to the soil. He waters that seed day in and day out, month after month, and hopes that at the proper time, something will spring forth in fruit. And I love Paul's terminology. He says to you and I who are trying to do spiritually good, he's not saying, hey, don't give up because it could happen. Don't give up because it might happen. Don't give up because there may be a blessing, there may be a reward, there may be fruit. No, he's saying the reason we don't give up is because at the proper time, it will come forth with a harvest. And I love the reminder and the challenge to my own personal faith. Let me change analogies for you. We've been talking a lot about running the race. My very first marathon that I ran in, there was a fire at mile marker 24. The race is 26.2 miles, and at mile marker 24, they had to reroute us because the fire engines and all the smoke, and they took us on a longer route. Fast forward the story, we ended up running 2 more miles. You shouldn't run 26 miles, let alone 28. And I'll never forget it, as I'm running the race and they tell us, hey, I know the finish looks like it's that way, but we got to reroute you and kind of get you back. I'll never forget the feeling I had when I had my runner's watch on and it hit the 26-mile mark. And I remember thinking, my race is supposed to be over. And I have to keep going. I didn't plan for this fire. No one planned for this fire. But my race should be over. And I kid you not, when my watch hit 27 miles, like this point I'm supposed to be in my car, I was so discouraged that I quit. I stopped. And I'll never forget, someone on the sideline said, no, don't quit now. It's just around the corner. The finish line, you can't see it because all you can see is this turn. And I know your watch says you ran 27 miles. You have, but just get around this corner and the finish line is there. Listen, my friends, some of you are here this morning and you're saying, Pastor Jeff, for the last 3 weeks, you've been talking about my focus and my prayer life and standing up against the enemy of God. And I'm telling you, I've done all those things, but I am weary. I am weary from doing this spiritual good. And I'm just being honest. I don't know if I can take another step. I don't know if I can wake up another morning and pray another prayer. I don't know if I can witness to my neighbor one more time because I've witnessed to him 100 times and it just doesn't seem like it's working. And Paul is writing all of us this morning saying, listen, don't quit. The blessing, the reward is just around the corner. You have planted seeds that are about ready to spring forth fruit. All those prayers for your son and daughter, you don't know when God's going to bring forth that seed of fruit. Don't give up. And so this morning I thought, let's talk to you and encourage you who are doing spiritual good and give you 2 principles if you find yourself in that place, if you find yourself with that type of fatigue. Now, I need to take a time out and I need to say some hard stuff, right? I think there's 3 types of people in this room this morning, and I'm talking to the third. And so I need to take a time out and explain, I'm not talking to the first 2 types of people who are tired. Some of you are in category number 1. You're physically tired. And if that's you, write this down in your notes and apply it later this afternoon. If you're physically tired, you're burning at both ends, right? You have too many irons in the fire, right? You only have 24 hours in a day, but somehow you figured out how to squeeze in 30. You know who you are. You're not sleeping at night. You're sleeping 2 to 3 hours a night. You're physically just tired. If that's you, ready for this? This is real spiritual. God gave me this to give to you. Take a nap. You're like, you studied all week to say that? My point is this. Some of you are just physically tired. You just need to take a nap. You need to get some sleep, right? So I'm not talking to you, and I don't want you to apply these 2 principles. If that's you, if you're physically tired, these 2 principles don't apply to you. Now, the second category, 2 and 3, fall under the spiritual heading of spiritual fatigue. But I want to talk about the second category for a minute because some of you are spiritually fatigued because you have 1 foot in the world and 1 foot in the scriptures. You're a Christian, you're following Christ, but you have recently made some poor choices. You have made some sin choices. And God right now is causing your life to be a little bit uncomfortable, which has brought your life some weariness, some fatigue. It's because it's a consequence of your sin. And God is lovingly chastising you so that you'll get back on course. So I'm not talking to you. If you're physically tired, you're ready for the application, take a nap. If you're spiritually tired because you've just flat out decided not to live according to God's word, and you're suffering the consequences of that, you ready for your application? Stop sinning. Right? Repent. God will graciously forgive you and he will restore you. But you can't blame God. You can't walk out of here and say, man, I'm so spiritually fatigued from, because Paul's saying doing good. You're not doing good. You're doing sin. And that's brought discomfort to your life. Sin is fun for a season, but then it catches up to you. Okay, so I'm not talking about physical rest, and I'm not talking about someone who's suffering the consequences of sin. I'm talking to you in this room who are sincerely doing spiritually good. You're not perfect, okay? You make mistakes, but you're honestly like, I'm praying, I'm trying to stand up against the enemy of God, I'm trying to live with an eternal focus. I know the things in this earth don't last. I'm trying to make a difference for Christ. I'm living for his purposes. I'm talking to you. You're weary. You're discouraged. You're losing hope. And so these two principles are to encourage you. Are you ready to get back into the message? I hope so. Principle number one is this. If that's you, when it comes to your spiritual fatigue, again, you're praying for your kids and just doesn't seem like it's working. You're fighting the enemy. You're not fighting with your spouse, but your marriage just doesn't seem like it's working. You're trying to read the word of God, but you're still struggling with the same sin. When it comes to your spiritual fatigue, number one, you need to learn how to rest spiritually. Now, I asked you to turn to Mark chapter 6, and I want to explain this. So let me develop this for a moment. Turn to Mark chapter 6. If you're there in Mark chapter 6, I want you to look at verse 7. This is a passage that I love. I actually refer to it quite a bit, but let me teach the context real quickly this morning. Verse 7 says this, Mark 6, verse 7 says, calling the 12 to him, he began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over impure spirits. And these were his instructions. Take nothing for the journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra shirt. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, leave that place and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. So Jesus basically says, okay, I'm sending you guys out, ready for this, to do good. I'm going to send you out two by two. You're going to go into the world with a heavenly perspective. Okay, you're going to stand up against the enemy of God. All the things that we've been talking about, this whole series. And I'm going to send you into this world to accomplish this mission. And look what happens in verse 12. They went out, they preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons. They anointed many sick people with oil and they healed them. They had incredible success. Now, this story gets interrupted by an explanation of how John the Baptist was killed. But really, this section continues from verse 12 to verse 30. So if you look at verse 30, after the disciples went out, stood up against the enemy of God, did all these religious, spiritual things on the name of Jesus, look what happens in verse 30. It says, the apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they have done and taught. So Jesus is like, hey guys, tell me, how did it go? And they say this, because so many people were coming and going, they didn't even have a chance to eat. And he said to them, come with me by yourself to a quiet place and let's get some rest. Now, here's the principle, and I've shared this before. It's a reminder. The principle is very simple. When you are spiritually tired, you don't take a break from Jesus. You take a break with Jesus. Very important. When you are spiritually tired, you feel like you need a break, you feel like you can't take another step, you need to learn this principle of spending time with Jesus. I would like to describe it this way. You need to walk with Jesus. If you cannot run the race anymore that you're trying to run, then slow down long enough to walk with Jesus. Two verses for you. Psalms 46:10, you know, be still and know that I'm God. Slow down long enough just to know God. Practice the presence of God. And Matthew 11 tells us that when we go to Jesus and give him our weariness, he will then return it with rest. Now, here's the challenge, and this is what I want you to understand. I am not saying to you who, let's change the analogy, let's say you've been serving in children's ministry for 30 years, and you're like, you know what, I am just worn out. Every single week, I have been spending time in the children's area serving God, and you know what, it's time for someone else to step up. No. God says that you are supposed to continually serve the Lord forever and ever, right? So what you're saying is after 30 years, you're tired of doing good. And Paul's saying, okay, I recognize that, but here's what I want you to do. I don't want you taking a break away from ministry. I don't want you to stop fighting the good fight. I don't want you to stop running the race, because if you stop these things, whether it's with your kids or your marriage or just service in general, you will lose and you'll never see the harvest. Jesus is teaching a principle here. When you're so burdened by something and overwhelmed, you need to practice the presence of Jesus. And there's a difference. So let's just pretend there's a mom or dad out there that's like, you know what? For the last 2 months, we've been waking up and we've been praying for our troubled teenager. And I'll be honest with you, it doesn't seem like it's working. And we are discouraged. And we are losing hope. And we are, what Paul would say, weary from doing good. We don't even see the sign of harvest even anytime soon. Right? And you're about ready to quit. And what Jesus is teaching us, no, you need not to quit. You need to rest. So you keep praying for your son, but here's the difference. I bet you your entire prayer life has been nothing about your son or daughter. So try this. Try waking up tomorrow and saying, okay, I'm going to still pray for my son and daughter because they're having challenges like no other challenges today. But here's the thing that I'm also going to do. I'm going to practice the presence of Jesus. And I'm not just going to come to him with my problem. I'm just going to let him minister to me. You see, the problem is you have poured out so much. You failed to receive from Jesus so that he'll fill up your spiritual tank. I think one of the best illustrations is myself. Every single week, I spend countless hours in the Word of God preparing for Sunday. I do not just go to the bookstore and pull curriculum off the shelf and study the curriculum and just present it. That would be easy. No, what I do is I spend time praying. Okay, Lord, it's your word. It's your people. What do you want your servant, me, to say? And I study. I spend time anywhere from 20 hours to 40 hours a week, depending on the circumstances. And every week, the enemy of God is constantly trying to attack me. Either it's through my family. You can ask my family. There's always something going on. Always something that he's trying to discourage me so that I can't get up here and share the word of God. And I'll be honest with you, I'm not trying to have you feel sorry for me, but sharing the word of God is such a serious responsibility that sometimes I grow weary spiritually from doing this good thing on Sunday mornings. But the secret that I have learned so that I can continue on is not just taking a physical vacation. It's prioritizing my time with the Lord so that as I pour out every week, I have him pouring into me. In other words, a lot of pastors struggle with being in the Word of God outside their job. They're in the Word of God so that they can preach a sermon. I'm talking about, in addition to that, I try to go before the Word of God and say, I don't have an agenda this morning. Have an agenda today. I'm not studying for my message next week. No, God, I just want to sit before your presence and I want your word to speak to me because I just poured myself out on Sunday. Now I need you to pour back into me. And so some of you, you're saying it's just not working. I'm about ready to quit. I'm saying the harvest is coming. You need spiritual rest. Go to your Savior and allow him to fill you up. It's a beautiful principle that Jesus is teaching his disciples. Because guess what happens? He says, come with me and get some rest. And what they do is they get into a boat. They get away from the people. But the people walk the north side of the shoreline. And they see where Jesus is going. And all the people follow. And what does Jesus do? He uses his disciples to feed the 5,000. So the point is this. You're going to do good ministry, disciples, but in order for you to do even better ministry, you have to spend time with me and allow Jesus to fill your tank. And so my friends, if you're standing up against the enemy, if you're praying for your kids, whatever it might be, don't quit. If you find yourself getting weary, try practicing the presence of God and allow him to fill your soul. Go on a prayer walk. Go find your favorite Christian music and allow God to minister through worship music. Open up the Word of God to your favorite passage and say, okay, God, today's no agenda. I just want you to minister to me. Go before God and learn how to rest spiritually. And then number two is you need to renew your strength. Now, I need you to do me a favor. You're in Mark chapter 6, but I need you to turn to Isaiah chapter 40, another one of my favorite passages I share all the time. But I want to show you the context of this. Isaiah chapter 40, and I want you to turn to verse 28. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28. Okay? So the Bible says this. I love this. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the ends of the earth. And I love this promise. Listen to this. He will not grow tired or weary. So stop right there. I know some of you are still turning there. We're in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28. And Isaiah, the author, says to us something very important, something that we know, but we need to be reminded of. He says, listen, I just want to remind you about the everlasting God. You ready for this? He never grows tired. God, our God, never becomes weary. When I was a parent of Noah, our firstborn, I was so panicky as a dad. I would constantly, like, literally, I'm not making fun of this, but like with OCD, I would check every single window and every single door lock like multiple times because I was so concerned that when I went to sleep, something bad was going to happen. And I was reminded that God never sleeps. God never gets tired. God never gets weary. He's constantly available. And I just had this peace that overwhelmed me. Like, okay, as much as I, as a human father, can watch my son, God, the Heavenly Father, is always watching my son. And it just gave me this incredible peace. And so the author here, Isaiah, he's building a point. And he's saying, okay, I just want to bring to your attention something because we like to skip this part. And we like to go to the home run verse, verse 31. But he's just saying, just for a moment, let me just remind you that our God, the eternal God, is the source of all strength, of all power, of all encouragement. He never grows tired. He never becomes weary. Now, there's another thing. That's pretty cool, but there's something even better. Keep reading verse 29. He says, and he gives strength to the weary. And he increases the power of the weak. Even youth grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. He says a second point here. He goes, okay, not only does God never get tired, but here's the deal. When you get tired, he delights in giving you his strength. He delights in giving you his power. He wants to renew you. He wants to restore you. And so one thing I want you to think about and maybe write down this morning is that you and I, we need to admit when we're weak. And I wrote this down in my notes, and maybe this will help you. Admitting weakness is not a weakness. Think about that for a minute. Some of you grew up in a day and age where you weren't allowed to cry, and your dad or mom would say, I'll give you something to cry about. You'd fall off the ladder and, you know, chop off three or four of your fingers, and you lived in the day and age where you picked up the fingers and you're like, anybody got any duct tape? Never admitted any kind of pain. You never admitted any kind of hurt, but because it was a sign of weakness, and weakness wasn't celebrated. But you know what we're learning here is we need to admit weakness, because admitting weakness, listen carefully, is not weakness. You say, why? Well, keep reading. He says, he gives strength to the weary, and he increases the power of the weak, right? Verse 31, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary, and they will walk and not be faint. You see, now we understand a little bit better the New Testament when Paul says, hey, listen, God, I got this weakness going on. It's this thorn in the flesh thing, and I'm going to pray to you about it. And you know what? I'm done praying. It's not working. And Paul's like, I'm kind of becoming discouraged, God, because I'm doing the good thing. I'm praying. So let me just do it a second time. And so Paul prays a second time about his thorn in the flesh. And God says no three times. And Paul realizes something. He has an epiphany in that moment. He's not discouraged. He's like, wait a minute. By me admitting weakness, I just opened up my heart's door to receive his strength. And I'm finding out that in my weakness, when God gives me his strength, I'm stronger than ever. And so admitting weakness is not a weakness. Admitting weakness is how we become available for the strength of God, because he has unlimited power and strength. And so I want God in this moment to renew my strength, right? So you're doing spiritual good, track with me, you're doing spiritual good, you're like, I can't do this anymore, I can't keep praying, it doesn't seem like it's working, I don't see the finish line, I can't see around the corner, it doesn't seem like the harvest is ever going to happen, and I'm saying to you, what you need to do is you need to remove all agenda and just spend time in the presence of Jesus and allow him to renew your strength and admit to him, I am weak. And open up your heart's door for him now to pour into you his strength. And in your weakness, you can even become stronger. But here's the key, and don't lose sight of this. If you want your strength renewed, you have to learn to wait. I don't know what it is about our society, but man, we struggle with patience, don't we? We even tell people this thing, like, you know, have you ever heard someone say, don't pray for patience? Because if you pray for patience, something bad's really going to happen. Like you can outsmart God. Like God's up in heaven, like, oh, doggone it. They didn't pray for patience, so therefore I won't have to bring something in life for them to be patient, right? That's the logic out there. Like, don't pray for patience. Something bad's going to happen. Like, you can't trick God, people, right? Patience is a good thing, right? It's one of the fruit of the Spirit, for crying out loud. We need patience. We should probably be praying for patience. But here's the thing. We're not patient. And I don't know if it's because of our smartphones or fast food. Everything's like, you know, as quick as possible. The reason I brought fast food is 2 days ago I was at Chick-fil-A and we ordered food and we waited longer than normal, and people around us were getting food. We didn't complain. We didn't say anything, but I did mention to Carrie, like, wow, it's taking a little bit longer than normal. And you know how, like, at Chick-fil-A, they put the color little, you know, thing on your table, and they come around, and they find you? Well, after, you know, 5-10 minutes, I mean, it wasn't terribly long. It was longer than normal. The lady comes over, and she's like, here's your food. I am so sorry. And I'm like, it's no big deal. She's like, here's a gift card for next time. We can't believe we made you wait this long. And I'm just thinking, like, man, people must chew them out if they don't get their food within a couple of minutes. I was at a red light not too long ago, glanced down at my cell phone, it turned green, like literally, 1, 2. I'm like, Jesus loves you, but I don't. I love him. I just didn't like him. Don't you know that we're in this society, we're just so impatient. Listen carefully, and I'm done with this. Listen carefully. Don't assume, because of the society which we live in, don't assume that waiting means sitting helpless. You ever been in a red light that seems like it takes 15 minutes before it changes? And you're like, what can I do to speed up this light? And you reverse the car, and you go forward, and you're trying to trip it, and you're like, I got to do something, because I can't just sit here. We think that waiting on the Lord means sitting helplessly. But let me tell you the biblical definition, and this might be your home run this morning. This might be why God brought you to church this morning. Listen carefully. Waiting on the Lord is an action. Waiting on the Lord is a decision. Waiting on the Lord is a confident hope. Ready for this? That he will show up at the proper time. It's not a question of, will he show up? No, my faith is saying he's going to show up, and so I'm going to wait on him to act. I'm not just going to wait around like, man, I hope it happens. No, my faith is saying it will happen. I just don't know what time it is. I don't know if it's going to be today. I pray it's today. I don't know if it's going to be this week. I pray it's this week. I don't know if it's going to be this month, but I pray it's this month. But here's the deal. I'm making a decision that I am going to continue to act with confident hope that Jesus is going to show up in the area that I'm struggling with right now. I believe he will. I just don't know how. And against all odds, I'm going to have a front row seat because every day I have a hope that it's going to happen today. Today's the harvest day. Today's the day when I see the reward. Today's the day when I see the fruit. And I am not going to give up. But in the meantime, I'm going to wait. Because that's an action of my heart, revealing my confident hope in the one who's sovereign. Amen? I'm going to ask the team if they would come up. And I just want to tell you one more story just to try to tie this all together. My son has been playing AU basketball this past spring. And for us, it's been a kind of a nice change of pace because typically in spring we play soccer and it's been a wet spring and probably wouldn't have got many games in. But he's playing AAU basketball with some of the kids in his league. And it's been a lot of fun. Every weekend, I should say every other weekend, he's playing Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. They're guaranteed to have at least three games. But if you win, he's playing as many as 6 to 7 games on a weekend. And Luke's team has been pretty fortunate. They've come in second. We're talking out of hundreds of teams. They've come in second twice in these tournaments, and they've come in first. And there's a lot of teams that are a lot better than them, and there's some teams that are obviously aren't as good as them, but they're pretty good. And we were playing in this semifinal game. And at this point, we haven't won the championship, but this is going to get us into the championship. And it's there's only a few seconds left in the game. And Luke takes a shot and he gets fouled. He doesn't make the shot, but he gets to go to the free throw line. And we're down 1 point. And the whole game, we've been fighting back and forth with this team. And the whole game comes down to my son's free throw. And I'll never forget, the coach and the other team calls a timeout. And all the parents who are sitting around me are like, oh my goodness, I am so glad this is not my son. That wasn't the encouragement I needed that moment. I ain't kidding you. One mom, and I remember, all the kids in his team, they're good players. They're going to go play somewhere. I mean, they're good players. So they've had success before. And I had another mom looking through her eyes like, I just can't look. Like, I can't even imagine how you feel right now. And I said, honestly, you know how I feel right now? I don't know why. I just feel like he's going to make it. And they're like, well, how can you say that? How can you say that? I'm like, well, because I coached him. But I said that, seriously, I said, because I saw him through the year when I coached his team. I saw him shooting free throws before practice, during practice, after practice. And here's the thing. I can promise this. I can't promise you he's going to make it, but I can promise you this. He's going to give it his best effort. He's going to give it his best effort. And if he misses, at least he can walk out of the gym saying, I gave it my best effort. But from all these other parents' perspective, they're thinking to themselves, okay, we were in a gym all night Friday night. We were in a gym all day Saturday. We were in a gym all day Sunday. I just can't handle it. And I'm on the edge of my seat on that day with a confident hope. Like some of those moms, I just can't look. Tell me when it's over. I'm like, you need to watch this. This is going to be awesome. And Luke steps up there and hits the first free throw. And I'm like, ah. And I lean over. I'm like, he's not missing this next one. And he steps up, hits the shot. We win the game. And the parents are like, are you kidding me? You called it. I'm like, I just had this peace that it was going to be fine. And listen, my friend, that's you. And that's me. You have been fighting the fight for years and months. And you have been doing good. And you're at this breaking point where you're just like, I just don't know if I can take another step. And God is saying to you today, just wait. Oh, don't give up now. You have been so confident in me this whole way. The harvest is just around the corner. Oh, my friend, choose to wait with a hope that I'm going to come through. Because here's the thing. Luke is human. And he's going to miss free throws. And guess what? We're going to make mistakes when it comes to our marriage and when it comes to our parenting and it comes to our own spiritual walk. But one thing is for sure, God, he's never, ever going to let us down. And my friend, it might not work out exactly the way that you think it should work out, but God will reward your faithfulness and your confidence in him. So don't quit. I wouldn't want to get to heaven someday and learn that I gave up in my prayer life one day too soon. It doesn't depend upon you, but oh my goodness, God uses your prayers to carry out his will. Oh, you might be one day away. You might be 1 year away. Listen, don't quit. Be confident that God's going to show up and he's going to win the battle that you're in. He's going to win the game that you're in. He's going to win the race that you're in. Don't give up. So here's what we're going to do. I know some of you, because you've talked to me, and I'm appreciative of that, I really am, you are fighting incredible battles, and you're discouraged. And you're not discouraged with God. You're just discouraged with your circumstances. You're not giving up on God, but man, let's just be real for a moment. The thing that you're praying about or the thing that you're wrestling with is tough. It's hard. And maybe today was that message that you needed. Maybe today was saying, you know what? I have been doing good. I want to keep doing good. And I need to just spend time with God. I just need his presence. Oh, I just need to make a decision that waiting is an action. Oh, I'm going to wait. I'm going to put my confident trust in him. And if that's you, I want to invite you to come and just to spend time in prayer. No agenda. Just practice his presence. And you know the story. Coming here isn't anything special, but there's something about when you make a decision and you make a moment happen and you can kind of remember and go back to that. But you don't have to come up here and pray. You can just pray there in your seat. We're going to sing a song here in a moment called Reckless Love. And I think it's important that I explain that terminology sometimes is hard to understand, right? And the question we always ask when it comes to the song is, what does he mean when he uses the phrase reckless love? I think the best way that I can explain it, because I've heard his explanation, is this. When I grew up in 1990 with my parents, 91 I graduated from high school, I'll never forget when I asked for something for Christmas and they actually got it for me and I opened up the gift and I'm like, that is bad. And they're like, what? What do you mean it's bad? I thought you wanted this. I'm like, no, that means good. I just grew up in a day like where you called things that were good bad. And my parents are like, this generation. I'm like, Dad, you say things are groovy. What does that mean? It means good. Okay, you use the word groovy. I'll use the word bad, right? And so this author, when he was just reflecting, he was thinking about the verse of scripture that says, okay, God has 100 sheep in this sheep pen. And one of them wandered out. And so God made a decision, Jesus, I'm going to leave the 99. Now that doesn't make sense to most people, because most people would say, no, don't leave the 99, because if you leave the 99, they might escape as well. But God, recklessly, for the 99, chooses to pursue the one who's walking away. And so maybe you're here this morning, you're saying, you know what, I've been running and I've been fighting and the good fight with the enemy, and I'm just at this point where I'm just like, I don't want to give up on God. I kind of feel like I'm wandering a little bit. Oh, my friends, just let the love of God overwhelm you and understand that He is pursuing you. He's choosing to pursue you. He's chasing down your heart that's starting to wander. He's chasing down your heart that's a little bit discouraged because you've been praying for so long. It just doesn't seem like the harvest is there. He is letting you know this morning that He wants to spend time with you and just fill you up. And so He's coming after you. And so maybe that's you. I don't know what's going on, but if you would like to come and just spend time with God as we sing this song, I would encourage you to do that. If you want to pray there in your seat, that's fine too. But for this first half of this song, as the team sings, you come and you pray. Pray there in the seat. Just say, excuse me, people will get by. But let's do business with God, all right? So team, why don't you lead us? We're not going to wait. Let's go. If you want to pray, just come forward right now. Let God do business with you. Do business with your heart. Go ahead, Pastor Bob. Appreciate it.